American dream has become a nightmare.
Thank you for listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, your host for the next 2 hours, during which I'll be sitting in for John Stadtmiller. So, welcome to this edition of the National Intel Report. For listeners who may be unfamiliar with me, I'm the host of a weekly program here at RBN called Datum Line, which airs on Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. Central. To gently insinuate myself into this program, a privilege extended to me by Mr. Stadtmiller, for which I feel honored, it would be beneficial for everyone concerned that I first lay a brief and basic foundation from which to proceed in today's discussion about the man-made world surrounding us. Isn't that generally what we talk about here on RBN? And this man-made world, the general public, accepts with little or no question, despite the endless and absurd toxic remedies applied to our ever-worsening national health by the experts in allopathic economics. You know, the cut, burn, and poison remedies that eventually prove more catastrophic than the disease from which the patient is suffering. Indeed, Americans and the vast populations of the globe are groping for sane solutions in a bewildering sea of gray, all 256 shades of it, unable to separate the black of tyrannical oppression from the white of personal freedom, having lost sight of what differentiates right from wrong, moral from immoral, the narrow path toward the blessings of God versus the broad highway that leads to destruction. The more news and commentary programs the masses watch and listen to, the more newspapers and magazines they read, the more confused they seem to become. Consequently, humanity is without meaningful hope for a solution to problems they do not comprehend, because the solution is not found in the treatment of effects, but by turning back from or repenting of the cause. So long as cause and effect relationships are concealed from the victims, either innocently or by willful or malicious means, they will have little choice but to submit their own will, their independent thoughts and actions, to the proclaimed leadership of society, who are appointed to govern an increasingly mindless mob. Leaders, be they doctors, lawyers, economists, politicians, priests, and clergy, or perhaps think tank experts, you know, our technical and social engineers, are presumed to be among our best and brightest, the ones endowed with vision, and thus able to lead those who are not so gifted, but are willing to concede that point and let others lead them. That is a biblical concept, isn't it? Where there is no vision, the people perish, says the first half of Proverbs 29:18. And leadership presupposes insight, foresight, or simply the ability to see what the general populace cannot see as clearly for lack of knowledge. The second half of Proverbs 29:18, however, is necessary to complete the picture being painted by King Solomon, wherein he said, "But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Hosea 4:6 clarifies this even further, where he says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I, that being God, will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me." See, Israel was to be a priest people, just as Levi was to be a priest to Israel. "Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God," see, it's not the Revised Statutes of Ohio or the U.S. Code, "I will also forget thy children." Have you ever seen so many God-forsaken children as we now have in America? These and countless sympathetic verses tell a sobering story for those who are willing to listen, but first someone must be willing to mention them. But who among America's vast army of highly acclaimed leadership has bothered to mention the biblical precepts upon which our national recovery should be predicated? Well, here's our music. This is our first break. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy sitting in for John Stadtmiller.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll free at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Well, welcome back to this edition of the Intel Report. And, well, that statement was half correct. You're listening to the Intel Report, but you're not listening to John Stadtmiller today. If you're just joining us at this point, I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, host of the Datamline program on Sunday mornings on RBN. And the title for today's message is Black and White. This will be followed in the second hour by our guest, Scott Mooney, during which time he and I will focus on economics, specifically the tally sticks of merry old England. You know, Isaiah, the prophet, lends insight into America's demise at chapter 1 and verse 18, wherein he says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." I'm going to stop right there. The problem in America is that we're not reasoning with God. We are reasoning apart from God. And we'd be a lot better off if we weren't going to try to go it alone. Obviously, the system and the problem ahead of us is far bigger than we are. He goes on to say that though your sins be as scarlet, I'll stop there. What is sin? Sin is defined in the Bible at 1 John 3:4 as transgression of the law, and that's not the Roman civil law or the United States Code. That's the commandments of God, the commandments, statutes, and the judgments. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That sounds good. Sounds like we're going to be forgiven. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Sounds very good, doesn't it? So far, verse 19 goes on, saying that if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. See, there's a condition there. Verse 20, but if ye refuse and rebel, which America is good at doing, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. You know, I don't even recall Bill Clinton mentioning anything about this, even though I remember seeing him on a video carrying a Bible into a church service years ago, where he joined the choir in his flowing robes. During his inaugural address, Bill Clinton said, "Ours is a generation that does not look back." Oh, heavens no. If we did that, we might learn something from history. We might even discover the reasons for the mess we're in, because our forefathers had to grapple with what brought us to our present circumstances. But you know, their success was only temporary. For want of unity and a willingness to apply a biblically sound solution. They had one, and they applied it in the area of lawful money. But you see, the public could not let go of a credit system or the whole idea of banking. Being granted license to commit fraud and theft, banks began to proliferate in America. Our gold and silver began to disappear into bank vaults, being replaced by ever-increasing reams of spurious banknotes. And for the last 50 years, we have had no money in circulation. Now, there are some people who are going to disagree with that. So if you can identify the substance of the money that's in circulation right now, that's measured in dollars, will give you 100 pounds of it absolutely free. Let RBN know how you plan to collect that reward. But you know, we have lots of raw numbers out there that are called dollars, all created by the Federal Reserve System, which opened for business in 1914. Ever since that time, Americans have been treated to political pipe dreams that offer utopian-sounding solutions while we ride out the countless dog and pony shows which pass for meaningful debate between the lesser of two evils, you know, between Tweedledee and Tweedledum. But lest we get too far afield, let's begin by separating white from black in a nebulous sea of gray on a level that is essential to understanding the man-made world which abounds in fraud and deception. We'll start by erasing the confusion which permeates three vital aspects of social cohesion, without which social organization would collapse and mankind would vanish into oblivion. Each of these three elements will be divided into two opposing camps, in essence into black and white, as opposed to 256 shades of gray. And we'll prefix even these three distinctly counterpoise factors by dividing the overall method of social organization into two and only two spheres of influence, again, black and white. Some folks will accuse me of oversimplification. I don't mind. But follow along and you decide for yourself. Man's organization into social groupings has been necessary to his raw survival against the natural elements. Most people can't deny that. Part of those raw survival natural elements that we need to be protected from include the evil proclivities of mankind himself, especially invading armies of opposing governments. Now, organization has proven beneficial, however, to facilitating division of labor in complex economic systems, which brought about technical advances of all kinds, and improved comforts which most of us are not anxious to relinquish. Unfortunately, a socialist mindset has in the last 100 years, accompanied this apparent progress. With only 16% of our population producing goods for consumption back in 1990, many of the rest of society having developed a brand new talent, how to live off the productive labors of others. But now, supposing we can accept that organized society is desirable, if not essential, how is this achieved? And can it be simplified by way of a black and white paradigm instead of pitting 256 shades of gray against each other in a false paradigm of choices? My mind goes back to about 1961. I was a student at North Yarmouth Academy in Yarmouth, Maine. My teacher, Art Hansen, a graduate from Columbia University, a liberal left-wing commie pinko, whatever you want to call him, and he made no bones about it. Well, one day he stepped up to the blackboard, and back in those days it was a blackboard. It wasn't green, it wasn't white. And with the chalk, he drew a long horizontal line on that blackboard, and way to the left, he wrote the word communism. He went all the way to the right-hand side of the blackboard, and he wrote the word fascism. Then he went back to the middle, and he wrote in the word socialism. We, freshman students, age, 14, were now being treated to the full spectrum, the full political spectrum of mankind. Is that right? Communism conjures up the notion of a man by the name of Karl Marx. Actually, that's an alias. His real name, Moses Mordecai Marx Levy. Okay? Karl Marx, Mr. Levy, wrote the Communist Manifesto. Well, he was supposedly helped by Frederick Engels, but it's basically his work, in 1848. When you study Karl Marx, you find out that Karl Marx was a socialist. That socialism is actually the intermediate phase of communism, and communism is achieved when all of the nations of the world have succumbed to the socialist platform. Now, if we go all the way to the right-hand end of the spectrum, we see the word fascism, which conjures up the notion of maybe a Benito Mussolini standing there quite officiously with his arms crossed, you know, like El Duce, you know. Now, fascism also conjures up another image, and that's a strident Adolf Hitler, who was lecturing a sea, if you will, of humanity in an ocean of Nazi flags there in Nuremberg. They must have made lots of flags in Germany. There was just about one for every person. Okay? And what's Nazi? Well, Nazi is an acronym for National Socialist Workers' Party. So you see, Nazis were socialists, and they're all the way to the right. Communists are socialists, and they're all the way to the left. So here we are, a group of 14-year-old students. And what kind of a choice do we have? Well, you want to check the middle of the road, socialism. Tweedledee, Tweedledum, and Tweedleda in this case. That's what I call a false paradigm. Now, there are two methods of binding people together in relative social harmony. I say relative. One is to encourage full disclosure of cause and effect relationships concerning the problems central to human activity and interaction. This allows for maximum freedom for people to solve their own problems while contributing their energies voluntarily to solving problems of state without being compelled by an elite central planning committee to endure policies that might be detrimental to individual liberty. The other method, one which has become increasingly evident during the last 100 years in America, is to cunningly shape public opinion in support of government programs hatched in the shadows by an elite group of decision makers who control the purse strings of state. See, the public doesn't control the purse strings. The Federal Reserve does. And whoever controls the purse strings controls the state. Now, by this, the masses willingly relinquish their collective will, energies, wealth, and political power to a cadre of hidden masters. Dumbing us down proved more economical than providing us with the intellectual tools by which to participate in governing ourselves as a free people. Putting this into spiritual language, why struggle with resisting the temptations of sin when succumbing to sin is so much easier? Putting it into political and economic perspective, why work for a living when so many government programs have been developed to destroy the Christian work ethic? When you understand the Hegelian dialectic process, you know, the thesis, the antithesis, the synthesis, as applied to political revolution, you understand why the first phase, out of four phases, in the communist strategy of conquest is to demoralize a target population. Lawlessness breeds an urgent demand for others of society, or by others, for more state control to curb licentious behavior. Sandy Hook will give you an example of that. Now, voluntary Christian self-government previously restrained licentious behavior without need for a police state. This was facilitated by biblical instruction to activate, if you will, the public's conscience. That law written on the heart, spoken of in Hebrews 8, 8 through 10, Jeremiah 31, 31, 34. Well, there's our music again. We'll stop here. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, sitting in for John Stadtmiller. Please join us on the other side of this break on the Intel Report.
Time to relax and unwind.
What better way to do so than with Santa Barbara Bells? For over 25 years, our wind chimes have been helping people to relax and enjoy life. Turn your home environment into a pleasurable experience. From the small overture chime to the large super bass, you will find just the right chime to enjoy. All wood, strings, and cordage are protected for long life, and all parts are rust-proof. You have 10 sizes to choose from. To see and hear more of the chimes, go to santabarbarabells.com or call us at 805-733-1513. Santa Barbara Bells is currently having a springtime sale. Come to the website and save up to 50% on all of our chimes. SantaBarbaraBells.com.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Back to this segment of the National Intel Report. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, sitting in for John Stethmiller today. On the other side of this break, I was talking about the necessity for creating a Hegelian dialectic process. That was the communist method, the revolutionary method, if you will, of basically overturning target governments, target systems, and imposing a tyrannical system. And doing it in a means which the public could not oppose. And in America, that was somewhat opposed way, way back in time by the active preaching of preachers and at one time the teaching of the commandments, statutes, and the judgments of God. Now, for that essential function that was performed by the true church was never subject to taxation. It wasn't exempt from taxation under 501c3 of the Internal Revenue Code. It was simply not subject to taxation. It was accepted from taxation. The principle was first found in Ezra chapter 7, verse 24, around 500 BC, and it was in a decree of King Artaxerxes while the Israelites, our ancestors, were in bondage. You know, what the select few global white-collar criminals have had in mind for us is the plunder and subjugation of an unsuspecting blue-collar workforce in the social beehive. Most of you know that. By sowing seeds of gray, The confused masses have no choice but to bend their will and energies to that of a state whose superior-sounding guides foment political and economic policy. Now, the controlling aspects, three of them, three controlling aspects of a socially cohesive group will now be taken in order. The first one, the generally accepted source of law, which constitutes the predominant religion of that social group, since whoever can make law is, in effect, God. To unravel the convoluted insanity of this system, we'll look briefly at the two sources of law which beget two opposing economic systems, one of lawful money, the other of legal plunder, and how we were alienated from the former by a two-century seduction of the latter. There are two sources of law which establish one of two counterpoised political economies, one free and decentralized, the other dictated by an elite central committee, the cartel. And no, they're not on Capitol Hill, but they do answer to them. This is really frustrating for demonstrators who march on Washington only to be ignored by officials who work not for us, but for the global banking cartel. The two sources of law? Well, one is a theocracy that comes from the Greek word theos, meaning God, plus kratein, which means to make rule. In other words, God is the lawgiver. He decides right and wrong. Sir William Blackstone, eminent English jurist, understood that. And he was eminent in his understanding of the English common law, and he influenced many of our founding fathers. Democracy is counterpoised to that. Democracy comes from the Greek words demos, which means man, plus kratein, which means to make rule. In other words, leaders of the global cartel decide what is legal and what is not. In a nutshell, this is the full political spectrum. Man's democratic systems vary in their appearance, certainly. But God and man are the only two sources of law. Americans, over time, chose man. A poor choice, but understandable, in light of how we inflict our view of God upon others. And I'll try to be more gentle and diplomatic in the approach to that subject. Religion supplies the principles of social behavior. You knew that, didn't you? Those principles are bound in the collective minds of a nation. A nation, by definition, are a people united by language, race, and custom. If you want to check that out, go to Montoya versus United States, 180 United States Reporter, page 261. And America's rising multicultural population portends disharmony and social chaos. Not that I have anything against other races of people. But it doesn't work when you try to create a multicultural population. You know, we desperately ignore this trend under extreme pressure from media, academia, and modern theology. Nonetheless, two opposing views emerge. Christianity says that God became man. You can read about it in John 1, 1-14. And that he is our lawgiver. You can read about that in Isaiah 33, 22 and James 4, 12. Secular humanism, on the other hand, says that, and this is found in the Humanist Manifesto 1 and Humanist Manifesto 2, that God is a myth. The elite, that means genius. That doesn't mean everybody is a genius. It means the genius among us. Okay? But the elite, the geniuses among us, become God. In other words, they become our lawgivers. And that Christian biblical input is neither wanted nor tolerated. Of course, I'm not so sure how much Christian biblical input we get from modern-day Christianity. Now, ancient mystery religions of Egypt, Babylon, Greece, Rome, and others put God-men, they called them Pharaoh or Caesar, on the throne as lawgiver and final arbiter of right and wrong. Time magazine's depiction of a supernatural Obama on its cover and America's many pilgrimages to Washington begging federal solace tells a sobering story about where we're going to find our solution. I hear music. I guess this is a mid-time break of the first hour. This is Bruce McCarthy sitting in for John Stetnauer.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a 1-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Welcome back to this segment of the National Intel Report. Again, I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, sitting in for John Stettmiller, if you're joining us at this moment in time. As I began to say on the other side of this last break, America's behavior tells a sobering story. Our national dilemma is to be solved by God-men, not by returning to biblical precepts. All of the ancient mystery religions, furthermore, were resurrected under the banner of Freemasonry, with no offense intended to its unwary members. And I say that advisedly unwary, quoting from Morals and Dogma by General Albert Pike, Sovereign Grand Commander of the Southern Jurisdiction, Scottish Rite. Turning to page 819, this was published in 1871, mine's a 1930 reprint. He says, quote, "The Blue Degrees," that's the first, second, and third degree of the Masonic Lodge, "the Blue Degrees are but the outer court of the temple. Part of the symbols are displayed there." See, they teach by symbols. It's a lot easier to do it that way. And you can teach by allusion. You can allude to what they mean. It really doesn't mean that. Well, you look deep enough. Yeah, it does mean that. Okay. Anyway, "The Blue Degrees are but the outer court of the temple. Part of the symbols are displayed there to the initiate." The initiate is the first degree member. But he is intentionally misled. That's quite an organization, isn't it? He is intentionally misled by false interpretations. It is not intended that he shall understand them, but it is intended that he shall imagine he understands them. It's very much like our Masonic system out here of mainstream media. You're given just enough information, some of it true, some of it false, but a lot of it missing, so that you think you know what's going on, that you have an intelligent grasp of the situation. Look at how people get, well, they bristle so much because they know so much. They're so certain what they know about what goes on in America. But it is intended that they should imagine that they know. Anyway, Pike goes on to say, he says, quote, it is well enough for the mass of those called Blue Lodge Masons, that's the first, second, and third degree Masons, and most Masons don't go beyond the third degree, which is a Master Mason. It's well enough for the mass of those called first to third degree Masons to imagine that all is contained in the blue degrees, and whoso attempts to undeceive them will labor in vain. Now, wouldn't you like to belong to an organization like that? So let's back up now. Freemasonry has many symbols. And of its many esoteric symbols, the inverted pentagram is erected over the entrance to an Eastern Star Lodge, for example. You know, the inverted pentagram, when it's upside down, has two points up there, you know, one point pointing down. Okay, here's their interpretation of that symbol. Quote, when the pentagram elevates two of its points, it represents Satan. Oh, wow. Now, who is he? Well, he's the guy who told Eve back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. It also means the goat of the mysteries, who says, history of Freemasonry and concordant orders, written by whom? The board of editors. What editors? Masonic editors. How many editors? I counted them up. There's 80 of them, all 32nd or 33rd degree Masons. So this was written by, prepared by, the board of 80 Masonic editors. Published by whom? By the Fraternity Publishing Company. Published where? In London. At least my edition is. On what page? Page 101. When was this book written? 1896. You know, there's an awful lot you can learn from old books. Now, watch for hand signals of politicians and significant others who raise their index and little finger to symbolize the goat's head or Satan. In fact, if you go looking for Masonic symbols on the Internet, you're going to find, oh, Sarah Palin, for example, using that symbol, George Bush, all kinds of people, Barack Hussein Obama, you name it. They're out there. Do they know what they're doing? I think so. Politics, what's that? We've talked about religion. That's the first aspect of society that cohesively binds people together, religion. What's politics? Politics is the administration of a society's predominant religion. If you change the religion of a society, the political system will change to administer that. That's a fact. Thus, we find Masonic cornerstones and symbolism scattered throughout our federal and state capital cities. Now, listeners to the Datumline program have been made aware, for example, that in my home state of Maine, the capital city of which is Augusta, there is a Masonic lodge in that city, and the lodge number, every lodge has a number. You can read it over the top of the door. The lodge number there in Augusta, Maine is lodge number 141. Well, why is that significant? Well, the governor's aircraft, the aircraft registration, now the last airplane they used to have was a Piper Navajo. Before that, they had a C-45 Twin Beach. It was a military aircraft converted to civilian use. And the number of that airplane was the same because the registration number was transferred to the newer airplane. the governor's aircraft registration number, and therefore its communication call sign, was November 141, Mike Easy. Mike Easy, or Mike Echo, stands for the state of Maine, quite obviously. November, the first letter, is never spoken in aerial communication, but that means it's a civil aircraft registration from the United States. The number 141, well, just coincidentally, it's the Masonic Lodge number for Augusta, Maine. My guess is if you want to start checking all of the lodge capital cities in your various states, you're going to find that the state governor's aircraft is going to have a number that corresponds to that. Do your research, those of you who like to research those sorts of things. So politics is the administration of society's predominant religion. Key legislative, executive, and judicial offices in America are all in Masonic hands. There may be a few exceptions, but boy, they will be exceptions. And here, briefly stated in the Bible of Freemasonry, we're going to go back to morals and dogma again, is why their monopoly of control goes unnoticed by the unwashed masses. I'm going to quote Morals and Dogma, General Albert Pike, from page 130, 90, 95, and 103. And I'm going to put together for you, if you haven't done this on your own, the most brief and concise statement as to the hidden agenda of the Masonic Lodge, and it's contained in that book. Quote, page 1, force, unregulated or ill-regulated, is wasted in the void. Most of us would agree with that. He uses gunpowder and fire as an example. Then he goes on with the next paragraph. He starts off by saying, the blind force of the people... Whoops, wait just a minute now. Did you know that your force was blind? Yeah, he says it is. The blind force of the people is a force that must be economized. Economized by who? Not by you. You're not bright enough to economize your force. And also managed. Managed by who? Not by you. It must be regulated by intellect. Whose intellect? You're not capable. You're considered to be too dumb. We'll go to page 30. It is genius that gets power. See? And who's in power? It's not you and me. And its prime lieutenants are force and wisdom. The unruliest of men bend before the leader that has the sense to see and the will to do. You see, we're going to bend. It is genius that rules with God-like power. There it is. Now we'll go to page 90. So public opinion is an immense force. The business of the statesman is to shape, control, and direct it. Okay, now you understand controlled mainstream media. We'll go to page 95. In the most advanced nation of Europe, there are more ignorant than wise. I believe it. More poor than rich. I believe that too. More automatic laborers, the mere creatures of habit, than reasoning and reflective men. I believe that as well. Don't you? The proportion is at least 1,000 to 1. I believe that as well. Unanimity of opinion is so obtained. Excuse me? Unanimity of opinion is obtained by what? Well, he says, quote, it only exists among the multitude who do not think. So now we see a reason why it is that they don't want people to be able to think. That's why Americans are being amused. The word muse means to think. You put the letter A in front of the word muse and it means to not think. America is consumed by amusements. Now, I know RBN listeners aren't listening to this because they want to be amused. He goes on to say, same page, 95, when men reflect, they begin to differ. Well, that may be true, but if they reflect a little bit more, they might come back together again in unity. But you've got to be able to find the truth. And if people are concealing it from you, it's difficult to come back together again in unity. He says, the great problem is to find guides who will not seek to be tyrants. Oh, isn't that lofty of him? Masonry, he says, seeks to be this guide. There's the hidden agenda for the Masonic Lodge. Not for the first, second, and third degree Blue Lodge members. In fact, you've got to go quite a ways into this system in order to be considered part of the elect. Now we're going to go to page 103. Synesius, he says, Bishop of Ptolemais, a great Kabbalist. What's a Kabbalist? Well, this is part of the Jewish mystery religion called the Kabbalah. So here we are in Judaism, the mystery religion of the Kabbalah. And we're going to quote Synesius, who wrote, fictions are necessary to the people. And the truth becomes deadly to those who are not strong enough to contemplate it in all its brilliance.
why would truth be difficult to contemplate? Because the brilliant truth that he's talking about is how brilliantly they've been able to pull the wool over the eyes of hundreds of millions of people just in this country alone. He goes on, the truth must be kept secret. Well, that's so much for a cure for cancer, huh? So much for curing America's economic ills. Because the truth must be kept secret. And the masses need a teaching proportional to their imperfect reason. Isn't that nice to know? Your ability to reason is imperfect. You see, you're not one of the Lodge Boys. Remember the old Dodge commercial? The Dodge Boys, the Dodge Boys. To get the great steel conceit, the Lodge Boys. Right. Anyway, global high-ranking Freemasonry sees us as blind brutes, whose energies and resources must be regulated and centrally planned by the elite. As George Carlin used to say, it's their club, and you ain't in it. Our submission is secured by controlling all information outlets to stifle opposition, one element of which is religion. So Christianity was baited by tax-exempt status for state-created corporations. The pulpits were then silenced by contract. The contract provision specifically was IRS Code Section 501c3. Therefore, they cannot challenge state conduct. You see, the agreement of the parties overrides the law. That's a legal maxim. And God is not a party. Modern theologians also deny God as our lawgiver, and so they handed that job over to guess who? Caesar, by default. Let's go to the subject of economics. We touched upon very briefly religion, and it's the religion of a people that establishes the political system, and the political system will establish the economic system of the people. The reason America's economic system is different today than it was when the Constitution was written is because our forefathers, not just the people who wrote the Constitution, but the people back home in the home states, the religion of those people was different from the religion of the American people today. You believe that, don't you? I mean, that's almost too obvious. You see, organized society is made possible by division of labor and smooth, rapid exchanges of wealth. I'm talking about goods and services, not numbers on rags called Federal Reserve notes, which aren't federal, embrace no reserves, and are not notes. See, a note's an absolute and unconditional promise by the maker or the drawee to pay some certain money in a specified time, okay, or on demand, okay? None of those provisions are there anymore since 1963, immediately after the assassination of Kennedy, okay? So we need the exchange of wealth, goods and services, and direct barter economies fail to accomplish this. A monetary system has been used by our European-American ancestors for over 4,000 years. It's not a new thing. From Genesis to Malachi, with few exceptions, money and silver are translated from the same Hebrew word, and the word was kesef. And that word actually means silver. The word money itself is an abstraction. There's no physical object that answers to this word. It has no atomic number, no atomic weight, or specific gravity. Money is not a gas, liquid, or a solid. But I'll tell you what, silver is. Nor can it be seen, heard, smelled, tasted, or touched. But silver can. While various objects served as money throughout history, money itself has never been used as the medium of exchange. When our ancestors used silver as money, it was silver they used as a medium of exchange. They're synonymous expressions. Most Americans don't understand English when it comes to economics. And I'm talking about the economic reformers among us. You know, as I'm inclined to do, I see I'm running slow on time here. As I'm inclined to do, I'll greatly simplify. That usually means to oversimplify. Here it is. You will either use something as money or you won't. Under a biblical system, that something was gold, silver, and copper. Under the Constitution of the United States, written by our European Christian forefathers, it was gold, silver, and copper. Under a biblical system, there were to be just weights and measures. That's commanded in Deuteronomy chapter 25. To have such, just weights and measures, something must be weighed or measured. In one system of weights and measures, or another, and America has an avoirdupois system, a choice system, and a decimal system called dollars and cents. All of those are systems of weight measurement. Since the Federal Reserve System began in 1914, and since the Federal Reserve System has finally absorbed confiscated all of our gold and our silver, what is now the money which America weighs and measures in dollars? If you can identify the substance of that money, I'll give you 100 pounds of it, absolutely free. Okay? The Bible commands just weights and measures. It says, thou shalt not have in thy bag diverse weights. You see, people used to carry little weights in the bag. Why? Because they used to carry balance scales. That's what Abraham did when he purchased land to bury his wife Sarah. Okay? He actually weighed out the silver and carried the scales to do it. Thou shalt not have in thy house diverse measures of great and of small, but thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. He doesn't ask much, does he? A perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 25:13-15. Here is our music. This is our last break in this hour of the National Intel Report.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment in this first hour of the National Intel Report. You know, since 2008, lots of interest has developed in the Federal Reserve System and the economics in general. We've got groups like End the Fed, inspired most likely by people like Congressman Ron Paul, or I should say the former Congressman Ron Paul. He's now retired. And, of course, there have been populists and Marxists, I'll lump them both together in this particular instance, populists and Marxists, who also have an interest in the Federal Reserve System, and they have an agenda as well. What is it that these various people propose that we use as money? Well, some of them will say that we ought to be using gold and silver as money. And if that's the position that they honestly believe, that is both biblical and constitutional. Some will say that we ought to be using gold and silver certificates that are redeemable in gold and silver. And that is not a constitutional position, and that is one that the Bible would not endorse either, because it suggests that we ought to trust in mankind. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind. That cursed is the man who trusts in a friend. Okay? Why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Others, however, say that United States notes, Lincoln greenbacks, without the promise to pay money on them, should be what we use. That's the populist, or what I call the Marxist position. And that comes about as a result of nationalizing the Federal Reserve System, which is what they want to do, in strict compliance with the fifth plank of the Communist Manifesto. That is Masonic and not Christian. Their platform seems to gain credence with the telling of several oft-repeated myths, one of which we're going to cover in our second hour. We'll be doing that with Scott Mooney. Scott Mooney, are you there?
Hey, Bruce, I'm here on the line.
Yeah. Hey, good to hear from you. Thank you very much for joining us here, and I'm sitting in, as you know, for John Stettmiller and his program, the National Intel Report. We don't have very much time before we have a break, I think, coming up here at the top of the hour, but maybe you can give us a little bit of a background on yourself. For example, what inspired you to take an interest in the subject of these tally sticks of merry old England?
Well, I've been doing a lot of research and writing over the years. I have a couple of books out. Some of the listeners might even recognize my book title, Usury, Destroyer of Nations. I had some pretty popular circulation some years ago. I still hear from people occasionally about that.
That was the first book that I saw your name on when I was on the speaking circuit back in the 80s.
Yeah, that book was published in 1988. And since then I've also, well, during the time researching that book too, money is a very closely related issue. You know, the whole idea of what is money and money, monetary reform, closely related issues with the subject of usury. So in the course of doing the research for that book, focusing on usury, I also compiled thereby a lot of research on money itself, and another book came out on that subject.
Right, and I hear the music again.
Oh, okay.
We're pretty musical here at RBN.
Yeah.
That announces another break, and we'll be joining Scott on the other side of this break, and we'll be discussing the myth of the medieval tally sticks. Please join us.
It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America.